Good morning, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an honor to be here with you today, and thank you, Father Steve, for the invitation. Well, we're just a couple of weeks from Easter. We're 1 week away from Holy Week, and today's gospel from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, has an obvious tension in it. And so I thought I would just help us to dive into the drama of what we're certainly very accustomed to, but I think we read these gospels every year and we celebrate these great feasts every year because the church wants us in some way to experience the same graces, if you will, that the first disciples of Jesus experienced. So the same experiences that the first believers had are being offered to us by our mother, the church, when we live them with faith. And so let's ask for that the same gifts and graces and experiences that they had would be ours today. Amen? And as I like to say, that's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit is responsible, so to speak, for communicating these mysteries, these truths, these experiences, so that our faith rests not just on what I say or Father Steve says, but on your personal experience of Christ Jesus and the love of the Father through the Holy Spirit. I hope that makes some sense to you. Let's dive into the Word for a minute here. So these Greeks want to come and they want to see Jesus. And I think that's a great petition for all of us too, each and every day. Lord, I want to see you. I want to know you better. I want to experience you more personally and more intimately. Please give me that grace. And of course, he wants to be known. He wants us to experience him in a personal way so that we can get to know him better and love him more and follow him more closely. It's also intimately linked. So we ask for that grace today as well and throughout our parish mission. Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And they're probably scratching their heads wondering, what is he saying? What does he really mean by all this? And it really only makes sense looking back at it in light of the resurrection. Because if we get stuck at the passion, at the crucifixion, well, then as St. Paul would say, our faith is in vain. That's nonsense. So we always have to look back at what Jesus did in light of his greatest miracle, the resurrection. So then he goes on to give us this gospel paradox. There's all kinds of paradoxes in the gospel. So things that when we first hear them are hard to believe and we're not really sure what they mean. But let's read this together. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So he's saying this, again, looking forward, looking ahead to his death. Because he came to die so that he could rise and give us eternal life. So that's what he's getting at there. He is that grain of wheat. And in some sense, all of us then, his followers, members of his mystical body, are called to follow him and his example. He's establishing a kind of pattern, if you will, a paradigm. He goes on, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. So of course, Jesus doesn't want us to literally hate our life. Of course not. But what he's getting at is that we shouldn't be grasping for meaning and purpose in the things of this world. Let me share with you a paradigm that the world would proclaim, okay? So this is not Jesus. This is not the gospel. This is what the world proclaims to us about who we are, about who we are. So our identity, as the world would define it, comes from what we do. And we do things so that we can then have things. And based on what we do and what we have, that's essentially who we are. Again, that's the world, okay? Is it easy for us to fall into that and to live by that? Absolutely. Because we live in the world. But as Jesus says to us, we're not of the world. So what does he propose to us? What's the gospel? What's the good news? It came out a little bit in our first reading today. Let me just go back real quick and highlight what came out there from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. He said, the Lord said through the prophet Jeremiah, I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this is something that God is doing. And when we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we become children of God. So now here's the good news. Here's what the gospel would proclaim. Here's what we believe as Christians, that we are children of God by virtue of our baptism. As Paul says, we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We've become something new, and it's something that God does for us. We don't earn it. We don't make ourselves worthy of it. It's something that God does for us out of love. So we are children of God, and because we are children of God, we have access to everything in the Father's house. Saint Therese was keenly aware of this when she read in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the loving father. When the loving father goes out to the older son who's complaining about the way the father's treating the younger son, the father says to the older son, hey, look, son, you're here in my house. Everything I have is yours. And Therese was like, whoa, that's awesome. Everything that the Father has is mine. And as St. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven, even now, because we have received the first installment of our inheritance. We've already been given the Holy Spirit. But we're going to ask for more during the parish mission. We're going to be highlighting Acts chapter 4, which is, it's become one of my favorite chapters, believe it or not. So when I saw that this is what Father Steve was proposing, I was really excited about that. So we are children of God. We have access to everything in the Father's house. And that allows us to do the works of God, and even greater ones than Jesus did, to quote John chapter 14, verse 12. At the Last Supper, Jesus said that. You will do the works that I do, and even greater ones. Why? Because he goes to the Father, and whatever we ask the Father in his name, he will do. So that's the good news. That's where we find ourselves in the order of grace, not in the order of nature. Like I said, not the worldly point of view, not a natural approach to life, but a supernatural approach to life. There is a new world order, and it's called the order of grace, and we've all been incorporated into it. So we are all something new, and we have access to something that is supernatural to make the kingdom of God present in our midst, just as Jesus did. As he began his public ministry, behold,
The kingdom of God is at hand, right here, right now. Here it is. I am it. I'm bringing it to you. Believe me. Believe me. And then later he would say, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify to who I am. And then look at what happens here. Jesus says, I am troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And his hour is his passion. Whenever you hear that hour, he's talking about his passion. It's why he came, again, to die for us and to rise from the dead, to give us new life. The voice came from heaven, the Father's voice, just like at his baptism. Here it comes again. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And then he says, Jesus, this voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, the devil. And when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. But again, this is good news. I will draw everyone to myself. I want to save everybody. I'm giving everyone a chance to have this new life. I'm not excluding anyone. No matter who you are, where you came from, what has happened to you, what you've done, you come to me in faith, with repentance, with trust, you will have new life. You will have friendship with God. That's a good deal. That's a really good deal. We all benefit from that. And so he calls us to fellowship with him. He calls us to friendship with him. And you all obviously have that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But there's more. And that's what we'll get into in these next, well, tonight and Monday and Tuesday night. We'll get into the more. There's more friendship or more intimacy with God to be had. And there's more adventure, you might say, to be had. He wants us to actively participate in building his kingdom and making his presence felt and experienced on the face of the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, dear brothers and sisters, let's pray for that as we continue with this Holy Mass, as we receive him in Holy Communion, as we continue to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray that we all be filled with his power and his presence and his gifts, so that as we pray in the Our Father, his kingdom will come here and now on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.